The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
If you are a fan of the Big 12, today was not a good day. Yesterday wasn't a good day either. But your Big 12 conference championship shirts, they're going to be worth money soon because they're not going to be around for that long. It's Matt Jones, Meyer Metcalf filling in on Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. You can call us, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. We'll answer, and we might even talk to you about it. Oklahoma and Texas are on their way to the SEC most likely, and Heather Dinich, ESPN's college football playoff senior writer, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin and said the Big 12 did not see this coming. Well, I promise you.
Okay.
I promise you that's what she said.
She did say it. She did.
I mean, we may not have it,
well,
but I promise you she said
it. Only everybody watching that it came out of nowhere, too. It was the rest of the Big 12. I mean, that's the feeling that I've gotten from talking to other decision makers within that conference is they were blindsided by this. I mean, it was only a week or so ago that they were on a call together talking about how a 12-team playoff could potentially benefit their league. And, you know, had you asked some of these people earlier in the week about possible dissension within the league, and they would have said you're crazy, right? And now we're sitting here with this.
I actually find that kind of sad, Myron. It's like when a man and a woman break up and the woman goes, or the man goes, you know, I just didn't see this coming. It's like, well, I'm sorry. I don't know. That doesn't really change anything. You know, whether you saw it coming or not, you should have, because Texas and Oklahoma have always held – Texas has always held the cards in all of this. So I think they should have been on the lookout probably from moment one.
Yeah, I mean, the SEC has clearly been in the Texas-Oklahoma DMs for about a year now. So this conversation has been ongoing. It's just amazing to me. I always wonder with the we didn't know. It's like, who didn't know? Somebody knew and they just didn't say. Like, I don't believe that everybody – was sort of blindsided by this. But at the same time, Matt, if you're going to do this and you're going to go from the Big 12 to the SEC and shake up college football and all of college sports, you can't tell a bunch of people about that.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised that, you know, along those lines, are you not a little surprised it didn't get out? I mean, the reason this got out is a Texas A&M reporter put it out because A&M found out and leaked it because they're trying to stop it. I mean, aren't you surprised it went this long without people getting a sniff of it?
In all the mob movies, they only tell four or five people about the big stuff, right? And I think this was one of those situations where only a handful of people probably knew at each school what was exactly going on behind the scenes. And that's why we're here, Matt. Because to me, if this leaks 3-4 months ago, right, and you give people enough time to dialogue and debate and it becomes this national story, maybe the momentum isn't the same. They unveiled this. This was leaked when it was close to being a done deal. And it was sort of like, all right, everybody's going to get mad at us in the
Big
12.
See, I wonder if there was only a handful of people that knew. I mean, if you think about it, you could do this with only Greg Sankey. You probably have to have the president of the SEC presidents, which is Eli Capiluto at the University of Kentucky. You could have a scenario where the two of them and Texas and Oklahoma just talk. And then you decide, well, let's roll with it. And maybe other people didn't know, Myron.
That may be the case. But I also wonder, I mean, this all has obviously kind of come out in the last couple of days. I'm sure in the planning stages, the early planning stages, they couldn't tell too many people. But it's just hard for me to imagine if they've really been talking for a year or even 6 months that someone didn't find out something. Either way, if I'm in the Big 12 and I'm not Texas or Oklahoma, I feel terrible because I feel like you just left me in a league that's going to die. And now I've got to figure out my future for my school and my program because I don't know if the Big 12 will last. And that,
all right,
to me, those are the people.
I want to see if you agree with this statement. I think if you're listing the top college football programs in America, it's got to include Florida, Georgia, that's two, Alabama, Auburn, that's four, LSU, five, Texas A&M, six, Texas, Oklahoma, seven, and eight. Do you agree with that?
Eight of the top 20.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Eight of the top now. Now, how many other programs in all the leagues combined are as good as those eight? I'll just go through them quickly. Clemson, probably yes. Well, yes, definitely. Notre Dame, Ohio State. You want to put
Penn
Michigan
State in a good
there?
Year,
let's
maybe.
Put Michigan.
Yeah.
I guess what? Maybe
Oregon.
USC, Oregon, yeah.
Not many.
Florida State. My point is, if you add up all the conferences together, you might be able to find eight teams in the other conferences together as good as the top eight in just the SEC. That says that there's a, you could argue, half of college football's power is now in one conference.
And a few years from now, we're going to see that half of the 12-team playoff is also from one conference. And I just wonder, everybody was excited about the 12-team playoff when they thought it was going to be a couple of SEC teams and 10 other teams from around college football. Matt, how is the country going to respond if four or five teams from the SEC or six get into that 12-team field?
I think it's amazing that if we were to sit and list the top 15 programs in America, probably five of the top seven and eight of the top 15 are now going to be in one conference. It's pretty amazing stuff. Now, we know the impact on football, but what about other sports? What about basketball? All of a sudden, the SEC becomes very important in that. And in other sports, the SEC becomes the dominant force. Does college athletics now basically just run through the Southeastern Conference? That's next here on Chenea and Golic Jr. Matt Jones, Meyer Metcalf filling in here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It is Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. ESPN Plus as well. You can tweet us. I'm Matt Jones, Meyer Metcalf, at KY Sports Radio or at Metcalf by ESPN. We are talking about the big news, Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. And Meyer, and everybody focuses initially.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
On football, as they should. It's the moneymaker, and it's what the SEC is known for. But I think what's actually interesting is the SEC is about to be the best at every sport. Let's just go through it. The SEC was already the best at baseball. The SEC was already the best at women's basketball. Really, the only thing they didn't have was men's basketball. And in recent years, sort of under the radar, the best team, the best conference in college basketball was not the ACC. It's been the Big 12. And now that's going to get broken up. And Texas and Oklahoma, with Texas, with Chris Beard, who, if people haven't been following, has been killing the recruiting at Texas, now coming to the SEC, it's not crazy, Myron, to think that Texas and Kentucky can be, you know, Carolina and Duke are getting new coaches. They may not be what they've always been. It's not crazy to think that the SEC can now be the best in college basketball, too.
I mean, I think there's certainly that potential, especially considering what Texas, you know, is right now. I mean, Texas could come into the season number one or two in the preseason poll. Kentucky's Kentucky. You look at some of the things that Florida's been able to do, a number of
Arkansas
teams in the league.
With Musselman, yeah.
So I think that certainly could be a powerhouse league. And to your point, to the other sports as well. I mean, Texas volleyball, a number of sports across the landscape. And here's to me, Matt, where that matters so much. In the name, image, and likeness conversation, you're going to have a handful of individuals who have these giant profiles and they have value just by that alone. But for the most part, your value is going to be dramatically affected by your affiliation. So to me, now in the name, image, and likeness conversation across all sports, you're doing everything you can to get into the SEC because that's where the exposure and the visibility and the competitiveness will be. So I think in an NIL world, it really expands both the reach and the power and influence of the SEC.
The NCAA president, Mark Emmert, recently said in an interview, I thought it was a fascinating thing he said. He basically said, look, in the future of college athletics, we may not need an all-powerful NCAA. Maybe the actual governing body should be broken down and the NCAA really just exists to have the national tournament. That we really basically, what he was almost saying is we exist to make money on the NCAA basketball tournament. But when it comes to enforcing rules and deciding standards, maybe each conference should just decide its own. Now, I don't know if that's what they do, but if they do it, Myron, isn't it the case now that it's going to be the SEC that decides all this stuff? Like, if the SEC is the best at all of these sports, are basically all rules about amateur athletics going to be decided in Birmingham, Alabama by the leadership of the SEC?
I mean, I think it's going to be difficult to ignore what they want. And ignore, you know, how they want to shape things going forward. So I think certainly they'll have a ton of power. Now, mind you, the Power Five already have a bunch of power. They have autonomy.
But there's five of them.
There's five. Now with four, I think certainly the SEC becomes the powerful conference that is able to influence everything in college sports. I mean, the money that they're going to generate. And they're going to have the best athletes. I mean, no one will have more, a bigger portion of the most talented athletes in America across all sports. And again, the NIL piece to me is important because now you're going to have athletes who are brands now. And that brand's going to be connected to the SEC. And that is going to be the premier league in every sense of the word. And I think everybody else will be second place. That's to me what the landscape will look like.
And like even things like the SEC Network. I mean, the SEC Network, most people listening to this can probably get it, although some of you might have to go looking for it. I can see a world where everybody has it. Like, I mean, because, yeah. Look, you want to watch college sports? Well, this is where you're going to watch it. I mean, I think the SEC is going to sort of...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For lack of a better term, control the narrative on all of this. Because if you have the only thing they didn't have in some ways was Texas. It was the one thing that sort of was missing. Once you have Texas, who cares? And part of me wonders if the other powers, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, do you think their power is less today than it was yesterday before Texas came?
I think it is because I think the Big Ten and the SEC were pretty close to one another.
Yes.
And really everything, revenue, the visibility with the powerhouse teams you have at the top. But adding Texas and Oklahoma changes everything. And I think here's the other thing. If you're in these leagues, I don't think Ohio State's ever leaving the Big Ten. Oregon, USC probably want to be the anchors of the Pac-12. But at this point with the SEC, nothing seems impossible to me, man. I know everyone's saying they won't want to expand. But now you know that if they decide to at any point in the future, those schools will have to answer that call. If Notre Dame gets a call from the SEC today, you may say no, but that's going to be a conversation. And I think that's why they're going to have so much
power.
Don't
they now have to join one?
You would think.
Because it feels like to me, if you're the Big Ten, the move is to bring in Notre Dame. Isn't it? I mean, like, that's the the only thing out there that is as shiny and grand as Texas is Notre Dame. And like, whether Notre Dame will do it is a different conversation, but like, doesn't that have to be the move you make to sort of try to equalize things?
I think that has to be the move, and I'm sure it's something. I mean, they were basically in the ACC last year, but I think every league, and you saw the Pac-12 today say, listen, we're going to listen to people who want to join our league because we understand that it's expand or maybe die. Because now the threat is, especially in that part of the country, what if the SEC continues to move? What if they say, you know what, North Carolina looks pretty good over there. North Carolina and Duke could add something to our basketball.
Well, people don't realize, and people can believe this or not, but Myron, you know what I'm talking about. North Carolina and Duke was a conversation once.
It's crazy.
It didn't happen. I'm not sure that it got really close, but the SEC considered North Carolina and Duke, and I think North Carolina and Duke listened, and I think that was a possibility at one time.
And I think now with what's going to be on the table, remember, the SEC just signed a $3 billion television deal. That's going to be about a $63 million payout per the current schools in the SEC. You add Texas and Oklahoma, they've got to go and renegotiate that deal, and it'll be even more money per school. And that's why everybody would listen, including those ACC schools, including a Big Ten school. I just think you know now, if you are not in the SEC, that if they make the phone call, that is going to be a conversation that potentially puts your league at risk.
Who do you think is the luckiest program in the SEC? Like, who's the one that is actually the one that goes, I cannot believe all this is happening to us? It's got to be like Mississippi State, right?
Mississippi State is going to have Texas Longhorns fans coming to them. I mean, they benefit. What about Vandy? I mean, Vandy keeps winning in all this, too.
Well, Vandy, though, here's the thing about Vandy. Vandy has the – because – all these leagues have to have one private school because one, I never knew this, but I had an administrator tell me because one of the schools in a conference is a private school, then their open records request, they don't have to answer them.
That's wild.
So like the reason why you're always going to have one private school is you, that way you don't have to deal with a lot of public disclosure laws. So the SEC kind of needs Vandy. They don't really need Mississippi State, though, if you think about it.
A lot of winners, especially when those TV checks kick in. There's going to be a ton of winners in that league.
That's exactly right. Well, it is going to be the SEC's world. Now, Ohio State head coach Ryan Day was talking about NIL and said, you know what we ought to do with this money that these college kids, they should spread it around so all players get it. He sort of has a communist utopia of college sports, Ryan Day. Do you agree with that? Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf, filling in for Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.